This man, Elijah, now, he puts the altar of God back together. That's the place of unity. And will you notice him? And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name, not Israel and Judah, not Samaria and Jerusalem, but one nation. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order. He cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now, it was a long ways down to the water. As I said a moment ago, I stood there, and I wondered how long it took those that were bringing up the water to get up 4 barrels of water up the side of that mountain. And it was a long route, but this man's in no hurry. Now, we are told he put the wood in order, he cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood and said, Fill 4 barrels with water. And now they do that one time. And he said, Go on down, do it the second time. Fill it again. He said, Do it the second time. They did it the second time. And that's not enough. He said, Do it the third time. They did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. And I think if you could have seen him, you'd have seen a wry smile on his face. And you know what the wry smile is? Why did he pour water on that altar? My friend, only God can move, and there's nothing impossible with God. And a little water won't keep the fire from falling. And so he didn't mind pouring the water on. He could have had him pouring water for the next 24 hours. That wouldn't have kept the fire from falling. But this man now has learned to depend on God. We've seen that. You remember he stood at that little brook and watched it dry up. And he knew he was nothing in the world but a channel through which water could flow. He also looked down in an empty flour barrel and sang the doxology. And God fed him and the widow and her son out of that empty flour barrel for the period of that drought. And then again, he found out he's a dead body. This man's learned that if anything's going to be done, God has to do it. And he just stood up there that day, a wry smile on his face. And I think he had a sense of humor, and I know God has a sense of humor. And I think probably under his breath, he said to the Lord, Lord, if you don't do it, it won't be done. And friends, I wish today we recognize that. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. Listen to him. This is one of the great prayers of the Scripture. It's not long, but it's great. Listen to him. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. You notice he didn't say Jacob here. Why Israel? Well, Israel is the name that was given to one nation, not to 12 tribes, one nation. One nation under God and of Israel. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I'm thy servant, and that I've done all these things at thy word. And let's be sure, friends, what we're doing is according to the will of God. Don't do something, then ask God to bless it. God doesn't move that way. You have to go his route if you're to get the blessing. And this idea of demanding God to do something, he's demanding a great deal of us, but we are not demanding anything of him. He's no Western Union boy. He'll not come at your command. We're to pray according to his will. Listen to him. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. May I say to you that he's praying for the glory of God. That's what moves the arm of God. And you know what happened? Verse 38, Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he's God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. That was a pretty brutal thing to do, wasn't it? But he sure got rid of the apostasy and the heresy. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. You see, when the people turn to God, the rain comes and blessing comes. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. He's a great man, let me tell you. And he said to his servant, go up and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. He said, go again 7 times. And he went up and finally came back, and he says, there's a little cloud out of the sea about the size of a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee now. He said, you better get home, or the creek's going to get up and you won't be able to cross it. The rain is coming. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He's a great man of God. But we're going to see him start running. Why? Because he's a man of like passions as we are.